thank you, Lord. Here you go, Brother Gary. Give you that. All right, thank you. Brandon, turn our lights up there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You did good, Brother Galen. Even with your hat on, you did good. All right. It's so good to see everybody. A beautiful presence of the Lord here. And Brother Danny, it's always good to see you. And let me just let you know right now, mark your calendar for the 28th of July. Brother Danny is going to be coming and ministering to us in word and song. And it's going to be awesome. And he's getting ready to take a missions trip just within a couple of days after he's here with us. So we want to give into that. We want to bless you and be a part of that. But we're glad you're here today. And Sister Deborah, oh my gosh. How many's going to, let's vote today. We're not going to let her take such a long time away this next time. She's got to cut it up some, you know. But no, we're glad you're back, Sister Deborah. We've missed you so much. And just your husband, I know, is glad to be for you to be back. So we're still praying for all of your family. Okay. Okay.
As long as he's on the intubator, or the ventilator, he's breathing, you know, it's breathing for him. He's showing brain activity.
Okay.
But they were going to take him off yesterday, and I think they decided to wait till maybe later this afternoon or tomorrow. They're going to run some scans and see.
Okay.
But.
All right. Well, let's just pray right now. Father, you know the situation. Lord, we lift up this gentleman to you right now. We speak a healing into his body. We speak a miracle, Lord. We want your perfect will to be done, Lord. And so I thank you, Lord. I lift up the family to you right now. I speak strength over them. Just comfort them. Be with them, Lord, through all of this. And we thank you now for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to give a shout out to our trio back there. I was going to call it the crow's nest, but they're not crows. So we're going to call it the eagle's nest, even though it's down low. And y'all are doing an awesome job, ladies. Thank you very much. Amen. Amen. Y'all are a blessing. And thank all of you that are helping us on Wednesday night doing our community meal. That was a fun time. We make it through without Deborah. I don't know how we do it, but we make it. Anyway, last Wednesday night was wonderful, and so it's a beautiful time. And don't forget this coming Wednesday night. We'll be right here, 7 o'clock, in our Bible study. And Sister Lydia brought a wonderful word last Wednesday night. It was so good. Thank you for that. Amen. She picked on Linda back there. Linda, I'm glad you got a tough skin. She's got a tender heart. And so, but God is good. Amen. Can you say God is good? Amen. This coming Saturday morning, our men will be meeting at, where did we say? The Big Bear?
Black Bear.
Black Bear. There we go. Black Bear Diner. There on 35, 8 o'clock. So, guys, if make your place on your calendar now for that, we'll have a good time in that. Well, glory. Let's just get into the Word here, see what the Lord has for us today. Sister Margaret, God is good, isn't He? Amen, amen. Rachel, we love you. God is good. All of y'all are just shining today. Just a beautiful presence of the Lord here. All right, our verse, our text of Scripture comes from Psalm 89 and verse 15. blessed. In this case, the word blessed, another word is happy. Happy is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. The title of my message this morning is simply, It Pays to Know the Sound. It pays to know the sound. And that's not just any sound. How many knows it pays to know the joyful sound? The joyful sound. I want to talk to you for just a little while this morning about joyful sounds that are found in the Bible, in the Word of God. In reading this text of Scripture, notice again the words very carefully. The author did not write, blessed are the people who know the mournful sound, or the unhappy sound, or know the depressing sound, or even the sorrowful sound. No, he said, blessed are the people who know what? The joyful sound. And notice with me, he did not say, hear the joyful sound. But he said, know the joyful sound. There is a reason for the insertion of the word know instead of the word hear. You may hear something, but not always respond to what you're hearing. Or you may not even give a hoot to what you're hearing. Anybody ever not give a hoot about something? Amen. That is a word in the dictionary. That's a redneck word, I think. So, but the word know in the original Hebrew means to acknowledge the joyful sound, to understand the joyful sound, to regard the joyful sound, to know the joyful sound. Now, what does the term joyful sound mean? And how does it apply then to our lives? The words joyful sound here is an acclamation of joy. Or we could even say a battle cry, like the blowing of trumpets in a time of joy or jubilee. It's a loud noise of rejoicing and shouting, a high joyful sounding, like the shout of a victorious army. So there are several joyful sounds in the body or in the Bible. But for the sake of time, I want to point out just four of them this morning. Do you remember the story in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 24? Very familiar if you've been in church very long. Here it is. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, that means become alert and move quickly, and then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. This phrase comes from a story when David was anointed the king of Israel, and the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king, and so they came to make war with him. David had previously killed their beloved Goliath and the champion of the Philistine army, and now they had an agenda to come and get even. So they mounted up and they marched over to whip up on David and destroy his kingdom. But David turned the tables on them and he beat the socks off of them and sent them running. Foolishly, they went back and they licked their wounds and they regrouped to come back for another round, thinking that they could use some sort of different strategy to defeat David this next time. The Philistines then camped out, the Bible says, in a valley, getting ready for an attack. And when David heard about it then, he immediately went before the Lord and inquired about what he was to do. And here is what God said do. He said, don't go up against them, but you go around them, behind them, and hide among some mulberry trees, and you just wait right there. And so David and his army slipped around behind the camp of the Philistines, and they waited. And God said, when you hear the wind blowing in the tops of the mulberry trees, it will be a time then to attack the Philistines. Well, to them, it was a joyful sound. It was a sound of victory. It was a sound of triumph. Yeah. They knew they were going to have victory when they heard that sound. David and his men made then a surprise attack on the Philistines, and they didn't have a chance. The enemy ended up being completely defeated. Listen now, as we go through the rest of 2024, and as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, we know there's going to be battles that we will fight individually and even corporately as the church. So it's going to be imperative that we stay alert 24/7, because we have an enemy who will try at every turn to trick us and deceive us any way that he can. But guess what? We know a great big God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
In fact, the Bible tells us to watch and pray. We know that we're not to be ignorant of the end times. We know just by reading and watching the evening news that Satan's plans are to destroy the influence of the church in our nation and in our local communities. He wants to destroy the influence of the church upon our society and in our schools. And guess what? He's done a pretty good job at that. I was reminded of an article that I read some time ago when a teacher took away a child's candy canes that he had brought as gifts to his friends. Just because they had a story attached to each one showing the origin of the candy cane and its correlation to the story of Christ, the teacher told the child Jesus was not welcome in their school. Now, how sad is that? And I know, we know it's even worse today. So there definitely is a war being waged against the church. And we need to be ready at all times with the Word of God on our lips and receptive then to the Holy Spirit's direction for our lives. For hundreds of years, the church has been effective in changing lives and even whole communities and towns. But today, every church then that has a desire to go forward and step out on the promises of God can expect resistance from the enemy. Listen, if Satan cannot disrupt the church from outside influences, listen now, he will try to work from the inside through distractions, through division, and even through discouragement. So we have to be alert. We've got to stay on top of our game, so to speak. Ask the Lord then to help you be able to discern when the enemy comes sniffing around like a big old skunk. And if we're not watching and walking in the Spirit of God, guess what's going to happen? We will be like then a bullseye in a wide open field for Satan to shoot at us. Understand, the world wants us to stay quiet. The world wants us to leave them alone. They want us to remain somewhere off in the backwoods, across the tracks, out of sight and out of mind. While they speak up and rant and rave and riot and protest and call everything racist. That's the truth, hallelujah. Have you ever heard of the term, they live amongst us? I read this week where now they are saying a brown cow giving off white milk is a racist thing. So you need to stop eating beef or drinking milk. Listen, I'm telling you, I've got to tell you, some folks really need psychiatric help because they have stepped off the deep end. And guess what? Sadly, they live amongst us. I've come this morning then to tell you we won't be suppressed. And we're not going to be kept down. And we're going to not be unprepared for the challenge that is before us. We have to remember what Jesus said concerning his church. We have a battle cry of our own. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us who are the church. We are the church. We also have heard the rustling in the mulberry trees. The wind of the Holy Spirit is urging us to go forward, not slow down,
not stop, not retreat, but go forward and fight the good battle of faith. It's not a time to back off. Don't you dare quit telling your story. Don't stop letting your light shine. You be that living testimony of God's delivering power. Somebody is out there, listen, somebody is out there waiting for you to bring them hope and show them the love of God and show them the path to their freedom. Amen. Well, you may ask, well, where is the joyful sound in our story? Well, it's a joyful sound for us as the church then to go forth in the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, tearing down strongholds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So there definitely are strongholds for us to pull down, like every lie of the enemy against us individually and against the church corporately. And there are many. He lies and he tells us that we're losers. He'll tell you that no one's going to listen to you. Who do you think you are? You have no story to tell. You have no testimony to share. Look what you said last week. Look what you did last week. And guess what? He lies and he lies some more. Why? Because there is no truth in him. And it's one of his tools that he uses because he's trying again to keep us timid and scared so we will stay quiet. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, we're not going to stay quiet. Amen? Amen. Sister Lydia, you can agree with me. We're just going to let them do what they want to do, but we know what we're going to do. The strongholds are any tactic the enemy might use against us, against our families, and our communities. So we know they have to be torn down. Anything having to do with the name of Jesus, listen, is resisted, and a stronghold is built. So for Christians, there certainly is a warfare to be waged. These strongholds are these fortifications of error and sin are to be battered down and laid in ruins by our own spiritual weapons. And we do that by going forth, how? With a joyful sound. Not a sad sound of woe is me. No, a sound of victory, a sound of triumph with the sword of the Lord in our hands. Well, what is the sword of the Lord, Pastor? It's the word of God on our lips. When I wake up in the morning, I can sing a song. Oh, I can have a song on my lips declaring that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I will be aware of my surroundings as I go about my day, and I will not be tricked by the enemy. In other words, knowing that we are victors through Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Get up declaring life over yourself. Today I will not live in defeat because I know who I am and to whom I belong. I can walk even out of the doctor's office after hearing bad news and still declare I will live and not die. I will live to carry out the plans and the purposes that God has for my life. Amen. Ask the Lord then to give you His plan of action for your own life. Now, I'm thankful for the wisdom that God has given the doctors, whether they admit it or not. But understand, they stay in business by having you come back on a regular basis to quote unquote check you out. Well, come back. We're going to do a PT scan, your annual whatever you call it, the scan. And we just want to make sure everything's going okay. And it's a cash cow, y'all. You need to know there's too much money to be made, even in cancer research or in various other disease research, to ever have a cure.
Because guess what? That would put the doctors out of business and it would put the pharmaceuticals out of business. If they advertised that there was a cure. And guess what? There are cures out there. Have you ever noticed, this is kind of funny, how companies, they advertise as pest control now instead of pest exterminators. Why? Because they want to keep coming back to keep the pest under control. Because if they ever get rid of them all, guess what? They're going to lose money and they're out of business.
That's right.
So you have a pest control come out every 6 months or every month in some apartment complexes. Understand, Jesus has made it possible then. And he has made a way for us to walk in health and to walk and prosper in every area of our lives and in all that we set our hands to do. Thank you, Lord. All right, number two, there's another joyful sound, the sound of an abundance of rain. It's found in 1 Kings 18 in verse 41. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. Now, I don't have time to go through all of the circumstances surrounding the story because I think just about everybody knows it already. But there was a severe famine in Samaria. And Elijah had just had a spiritual battle and a contest with Baal's prophets. And God came through with a victory, and Elijah took all of those false prophets down by a brook, and he killed every one of them. And because of the false prophets of Baal and the apostasy of King Ahab and his wife, the wicked Jezebel, God's people had now turned to idolatry, and they began to worship the false idols. So Jezebel was deep in idolatry and was partly the cause of God's anger against the people. And it was because of her then the people of God was also involved in their idolatry. So God sent a famine in the land for a time, both natural and spiritual. And then God's people became ready then for a revival. They wanted to turn back to God and they repent of their sins. And so God spoke to Elijah and informed them that he would send rain upon the land and relieve the people then of the severe famine that had plagued Samaria. And after Elijah prayed for rain, God sent an abundance of rain. Listen now, in spite of any battle that is raging in our lives, in spite of any of Satan's attacks, in spite of the enemy surrounding us sometimes at every side, there really is a sound of an abundance of rain to be heard. Let's always be listening for the sound of an abundance of rain, which is also, guess what, a joyful sound. Not the sound of gloom and doom, not the sound of discouragement, not the sound of sorrow, and not the sound, certainly, of not defeat. But guess what? It is a joyful sound. And I think we just need to get ready for a downpour of God's Spirit right here in Alvarado right now. Amen. Listen, ignore the skeptics, the doubters. Ignore the gloom and doomers. If we want it, if we truly desire it, and not just talk about it, but if we will prepare for it in our own hearts, I'm telling you, God will send a revival of refreshing rain upon this church as a whole and upon us individually that desires it. Amen. And it will be something like we have never seen. Let New Life then prepare for a blessing. Let us prepare for a revival. Let us prepare for a renewal. And in fact, how about let's just prepare for a deluge?
Amen.
I hear the joyful sound. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Well, what does the rain do?
Well, first of all, it refreshes and it restores and it renews and it quickens and it revives and it recreates and recovers and it cleanses and it purifies and it washes all the debris downstream. Is there anyone else in here today that are hearing the joyful sound?
Come on, man.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Is there anybody hearing the sound of an abundance of rain?
Amen.
There's another joyful sound, and it's the sound of many waters. The sound of many waters. Ezekiel 43:2. And behold, the glory of God, of the God of Israel, came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. The word behold here is an expression of joy and admiration, as if the prophet has said, behold a wonderful and joyful sight. Listen, the glory of God of Israel, which had so long departed from this place, is now returned to it in the same way by which it departed. The prophet saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. And we know the Bible says Jesus Christ is the S-U-N of righteousness. And as the sun rises then in the east, so did he arise in the eastern regions of the world. And we know now that his light has been communicated to all the Western world. And again, as we go through 2024, and I can't say it enough, no matter how bad things may get in this world and with our economy, we can prepare ourselves for an outpouring of his Spirit. And as we do, guess what? He will show us everything else that we need to do individually and corporately as a church family. We don't have to live in fear of the end time. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We don't have to live in fear of the future, of what the future holds. Remember, God's word tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear. That comes from the devil. But he has given us a spirit of power. What is that? It's a spirit of having an ability and a strength to accomplish things. He's given us a spirit of love. That's God's love. That's the agape love. It's not a physical filial love. It's an agape love. That's God's love. And he's given us a spirit of a sound mind. Guess what? That's a disciplined mind. Remember Bishop Angle. He had his song about God's given me a Holy Ghost mind. Not a smoky mind, a Holy Ghost mind. Ezekiel said his voice was like the noise or sounds of many waters, indicating an outpouring of water. I personally believe then that God wants to do more than just give us those showers of blessings. Remember the old hymn, where mercy drops around us are falling. No, he wants to do more than that. I believe he wants to pour us out a spirit, his spirit, in full measure. And if God's people then will desire it and prepare for it and expect it, listen, it'll happen. In Acts chapter 2, there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. And what a joyful sound that was. They went there anticipating the promise that had been given to them. The promise of power and the baptism of His Spirit. They had no clue how it would come or when it would come. Jesus just said, you tarry until you be endued with power from on high. And when it came, guess what? It was a joyful sound. God sent power upon those 120 men and women who had gathered in that upper room. It came with force, it came with power, and it came with joy, insomuch that people thought they were drunk when they came out of that upper room. It came with an energizing force to give them an energizing ability to be powerful and effective witnesses of the power of salvation. Can I just ask then those of us here this morning, can anybody hear the joyful sound?
is the sound of the Holy Spirit moving among us. Yes, it is. I'll just answer for you. It is a sound of an anointed power to do great and mighty wonders in and through the church. Listen, if you have a desire to do something in this church, you come to us and share what your desire would be. And I want to tell you right now, there is a place for you. The last one, the fourth sound, is the sound of the trumpet. It also will be a joyful sound. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Listen to me, it will not be a joyful sound for the sinner. It will not be a joyful sound for the backslider. It will not be a joyful sound for the hypocrite. But to the blood-washed, blood-bought, blood-redeemed children of God, guess what? It's going to be a joyful sound. For we who hear that joyful sound, we are who have been saved by the blood of Jesus, shall lay aside this corruptible flesh. We'll lay aside sin and sorrow. We'll lay aside all those troubles and trials we've been going through. We'll lay aside the heartaches and the pain, and guess what? There's a lot. We'll lay aside death, and we will go to be with Jesus for all of eternity. I can't speak for you, but I'm listening for that joyful sound. Amen? Amen. The joyful sound of the trumpet. Amen. And I really want it sooner than later. I'm listening for those graves to burst open. And it will be a joyful sound. It'll be worth it all. It'll be worth all the trials that we've gone through. It'll be worth all the struggles and the battles that we have fought. In this life, guess what? We hear the sounds of wars. And now we're hearing them more than ever before. We hear the sounds of those who are suffering. We hear the sounds of the dying. We hear the sounds of trouble and trials. But someday we will hear the joyful sound of the trumpet. Can you hear the joyful sound? To some people, listen, they have forgotten what the joyful sound is like. Why? Because of financial storms, storms of sickness and disease, trials and tribulations. All of those things have caused them to tune out the joyful sound. There are those whose lives are filled with trouble and heartache. Their lives are so full of distractions that they no longer hear the joyful sound. All they hear is gloom and doom. All they hear is despair, agony, and defeat. All they hear is discouragement and condemnation. Nothing but bad news, and they wonder, what then will happen next? But I want to remind all of us this morning, on this Sunday morning, there really is a joyful sound. And God wants every one of us to hear the joyful sound. Why? Because it's a sound of victory that is in the air. The sound of spiritual renewal and refreshing is in the air. The sound of revival is in the air. There's healing, there's deliverance, there's freedom, and there's salvation. All of those are in the air, and it's all in here today if you need those things. So let's determine as we go from this place today that we will let that sound of the Holy Spirit become a reality in us and begin then a new work in our lives. Can you allow God to do a new thing in you? Brother Galen, come on down, brother. Don't be distracted. Don't be deceived by what the enemy is saying. Why? Because it's all lies. You listen for yourself And you know then what God is saying. What God says will always be the truth. Let's all stand together. What does John 8:32 say? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And guess what? If we do that, we can't help but be victorious all the way to the end till Jesus returns. Thank you.